John Gorka is our guest. I'm Jim Bloom. It's FolkAlley.com. Welcome once again.
Thank you. It's nice to be back this way.
If I'm not mistaken, this would be your 22nd year.
Around these parts, yeah.
Around these parts. But of course, when you first played Godfrey Daniels, you were...
I was still in college.
Still in college.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever envision it would be 20 more years of doing this?
This is what I always hoped to do. You know, I remember going... discovering Godfrey Daniels' coffee house, my friend Doug Anderson took me there, and it was like this little slice of Bohemia on the south side of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. It was like I thought this is what Greenwich Village must have been like in the early '60s, and this was, I guess, the late '70s in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And I loved going there, and it kind of became my fifth class, or it was what I would always go to when I could, and I just loved being there.
But you're not from there.
I'm from another land.
So how did you end up in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania? Because you're not from there.
No, I went to school in Bethlehem, and I hung around there afterwards because of a club called Godfrey Daniels Coffee House, and I'd started going there during college, and I ended up hosting the open mics, but even while I was still in college, and I became kind of like the house opening act there after a while.
So were you interested in music before you went to college?
I started writing songs, and playing banjo was my main instrument kind of going into college. And I wrote songs, mostly slow, sad ones, and I played these happy banjo tunes. And so I had these two sides. So I went more and more towards the songwriting as time went on.
And as your songwriting developed, one of your most famous songs written years ago was about where you were from.
Yeah. Eventually, I'd thought about that for a long time, what it meant to be from New Jersey. And I read this book called The Sports Writer by Richard Ford. And some of the things he said in that book kind of crystallized what I felt about New Jersey, and I was able to put it into a song.
Would you do it for us?
Yeah.
I'm from New Jersey. I don't expect too much. If the world ended today, I would adjust. I'm from New Jersey. No, I don't talk that way. I watch too much TV when I was young. I'm from New Jersey. My mom's Italian. I've read those mafia books, we don't belong. There are girls from New Jersey who have that great big hair. They're found in shopping malls, I will take you there. I'm from New Jersey, it's not like Texas, no, there is no mystery, I can't pretend. I'm from New Jersey, it's like Ohio, but even more so, imagine that. I know which exit and where I'm bound. Tolls on the parkway, they will slow you down. New Jersey people, they will surprise you, 'cause they're not expected to do too much. They will try harder, they may go further, 'cause they never think that they are good enough. I'm from New Jersey, I don't expect too much. If the world ended today, I would adjust.
John Gorka joins us. I'm Jim Bloom. You've been playing some of the same songs for years on stage to the point where the audience is either hanging at every word or they know every word. How does that make you feel?
Well, it's a little bit scary, you know, because sometimes they'll know the words better than I do. But I that's one of the things that I enjoy performing more now than I did when I first started, because I feel like there's all these songs out there that are potentially places that I might be able to meet the audience, songs that might have kicked in at a you know, kind of a big time in their life. You know, they fell in love or they've got their heart broken by somebody. So I feel fortunate, you know, that there are a bunch of songs out there now, and that people keep on coming out.
Is it difficult to revisit these songs, to play them over and over?
No, I think that's part of people tell me what the songs mean to them, and that's what makes it makes my idea of the song larger than, you know, that the incident that might have started in the first place. Mm-hmm. So I can see all these interpretations that are valid interpretations, and I feel like the song is something, isn't just my song. It's something that we share.
And you're able to let go.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm grateful that the songs have been able to find a place in their lives.
Do you sometimes envision writing a song that's even more open-ended than you had envisioned it at the first, so somebody could jump in?
With that idea in mind, there are certain songs like that, but I generally just try to go from one line to the next. You know, I start out with an image or a first line that has some kind of extra energy to it, and I try to make that go to the next line and to the next and all the way to the end. But I don't really see. I might see afterwards, you know, if there's a way that I can make the song more accessible, but often doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Today you play a Martin guitar,
yeah,
which is a new version of an old one.
Yes.
But you used to play, I believe, a Larrivee.
I had a Larrivee and a Loudon that I played, I toured with, and I still have those guitars.
But you have a certain sound when you play that I always thought came from that guitar, but it sounds the same from this one.
Yeah, I think it's probably, yeah. I don't play with finger picks and I don't have fingernails, so that you have the kind of the stumpy finger sound.
So that's how we can explain it.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
The stumpy finger sound.
Yeah. And maybe sometimes when I strum, I often will damp it with my right hand, so that'll probably gives it a more percussive kind of sound.
Your latest projects have been a DVD, which you finished in 2007.
Yeah, that came out in 2007.
And an album called Writing in the Margins.
Yeah, that came out in 2006, yeah.
And I wonder, would you be interested in playing something off of that?
Oh, sure. Let's see if I get the most... okay, get the pick out. This is...
Well, wait a minute, what happened to the stumpy finger thing?
The stumpy finger thing is for the stumpy finger picking songs.
Oh, I see. Oh.
This is the strumming kind of a thing. And this is the title song of the Writing in the Margins record. And it came about after hearing a conversation I had with a reserve soldier who had just come back from Iraq. And some of the things he said in that conversation turned up in this song. And it's called Writing in the Margins.
I'm writing in the margins, notes to me and you, 'cause the pages are all filled with new orders coming through. I'm writing in the margins, notes to you and me, so maybe we'll remember the good that didn't have to be. I'm writing in the margins, 'cause our days are spoken for, and your nights are with the restless who were broken in this war. I stood twice and carried once, and yes, I choose to serve, but there is no glory in it, and my voice goes mostly unheard. Are called and hope there's wisdom in the voice, and we fall back on our training when the moment leaves no choice. I'm riding in the margins, getting closer to the edge. I am running out my time, I am walking on a ledge. I'm riding in the margins, a horse that's going blind, staying focused on my mission and attached to my behind. I'm riding in the margins, listing all I need to fix. You know my job is still in transport, today 20 tons of bricks. There's not a lot of rich boys wearing DCUs and sand, but I'll think about that later when I make it home again. Oh, oh, I'm riding in the margins, in the outskirts of a town, peeking up at you on the day you wore that gown. I guess I'll try to sleep now when I get this off to you, knowing there is at least one thing in this world that is still true. I'm riding in the margins. I am riding in the margins. I am riding in the margins. I am riding in the margins.
John Gorka is with us. I'm Jim Bloom. When you first began singing and writing, you sang of one day maybe falling in love, maybe perhaps having a family. Jump ahead 20 years, you're married with a family.
Yeah.
How is it all working for you?
I feel very fortunate, you know, to be able to do what I love to do and also have a family, and I'm very, very grateful for that. Early on, you know, I just wanted to play, and if I could make a living at doing that, that would be my kind of my dream job. And now I've got a family at home that keeps me going, and it gives me something to really. I'm not just working for myself, and I think that's how people save themselves. By doing for others, and that's kind of a very direct way of doing for others.
What do you suppose you would have done? Did you have a bailout plan?
I don't know. You know, I have trouble communicating as I'm demonstrating right now. The songs gave me the chance to become a more social person. It gave me a chance to connect, because with the songs, I'm able to find, what I can articulate in the lyrics, and what I can't find words for, I can sometimes find the sounds for. And so that's why the songs are a better form of expression for me than speech or words alone.
You've reached a very high level in folk music. You are considered one of our finest singers and songwriters. John Gorka, because of your full range of confidence and your stage presence and your attitude of knowing, are you at all thinking of aiming for something bigger?
Oh, confidence! Confidence is something that is a very fleeting thing, and I something I have to work towards every day. But I feel like I'm doing the right thing with my life, in terms of but it's never. I still get nervous before I play, and so that's still not an easy thing to do. I enjoy it more than I used to, because I think the people there are there for the same reasons I am.
They might be nervous in the audience.
I try to calm them down by being more awkward.
But you have no aims for going electric, going into a more pop.
Oh no, I don't think so. The new record is probably it's built around the vocal and guitar. What I do most of the time. But with kind of slight embellishments. The last couple records I've done with everybody playing kind of a band kind of a record, they turned out to be more band-like than I was, intending it to. And I'm not apologizing for that, but because we were mainly trying to capture everybody playing together, me singing, playing with the band, so we have that, it's kind of the old-fashioned way of recording. This one, a lot of the things were built around my vocal and guitar performances. Some of them I did at home, and because I've had good gear for a long time, but I've just started to feel like I know how to use it, and I've recorded at home before, but never without an engineer.
So you're becoming a techie.
So yeah, I've discovered my inner geek a long time ago, but it's now getting results that are listenable.
Pete Seeger, 90 years old,
mm-hmm.
and you sing one of the songs that he brought to us, and I was wondering if you could give us a little happy Pete.
Oh, yeah. Pete, happy birthday. Happy 90th birthday. We're all grateful. We wouldn't be here without you. Folk Alley wouldn't be a Folk Alley maybe without Pete Seeger.
Water is wide, I cannot cross over. Neither have I wings to fly. Give me a boat that can carry two. Both shall row, my love and I. There is a ship, and she sails the sea. She's burdened deep, as deep can be, but not so deep as the love I'm in. I know not how I sink or swim. I lean my back up against some young oak, thinking he was a trusty tree. But first he bent, and then he broke, and thus did my false love to me. Love is handsome, love is fine, bright as a jewel when first it's new. But love grows old and waxes cold and fades away like summer dew. The seagulls wheel, they turn. The mountain stands beside the sea. This world we know turns round and round, and all for them and you and me. The water is wide, I cannot cross over. Neither have I wings to fly. Give me a boat that can carry two. Both shall row, my love both shall roam, my love and I.
John Gorka is with us. I'm Jim Bloom. You have a DVD you completed in 2007, a big project for you. A lot of people involved, Susan Werner.
Yeah.
What will we see in this program?
And the DVD, it's in the core thing is the 19 songs, some of my favorite songs from the first 20 years of recording. All the songs have been previously released. But we did, it was a live kind of performance in an auditorium in Los Angeles without a live audience and without a sound system. But we had the ambience, the natural ambience of a nice hall. So it's basically a recording session with very good video. It's the high definition kind of video and a surround sound audio. It's a fairly elaborate kind of thing. And the guy, Mark Waldrop, who of AIX Records, is a real audiophile guy. So there's no EQ, no compression, no artificial ambience. It's what you know. It's what happened. And we're all sitting in like kind of a semicircle. And I didn't even have any kind of monitors. They had some in-ear monitors, so I could just hear what, well, you know, very much unplugged.
Was it strange without an audience?
It's a strange kind of the video kind of world has always been kind of odd for me. And that's kind of why I wanted to play with people I was really comfortable with. Susan Werner is just a great musician, and it's great to have her there. And Michael Manring and I have played together since about 1990. And also a friend, Russ Rentler, played mandolin. He was in the Razzy Dazzy Spasm Band, the band we played in college, and Amelia Spicer. It's people I had been working with, and Russ. It was always effortless to, you know, we have this kind of same musical DNA, so it was effortless to play together. And so I just can just concentrate on my playing and try to ignore the all the cameras and everything.
So without an audience, there's no witty stage banter?
Right. That's right.
Yeah, was it hard for you to get along without that?
Yeah. It was hard to do spoken introduction. I tried to do some spoken introductions without an audience there, and that's very weird. That kind of I recommend you listen to it, just the music part. There are some introduction, but it's not like the live show.
You've played overseas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are audiences like in a generalization to the songs? How do they react compared to how they react in the States?
I just played in Holland, where a lot of people speak English, some of them better than me, and so they get a lot of the lyrics, but sometimes the humor, the introductions don't always connect. So I have to make things very direct and kind of dispense with some of the more American introductions.
What was one of the strangest performances you ever had somewhere outside the States?
Outside the States. Let's see. I'm trying to think.
Oh. You ever perform in China or Japan?
No, I haven't been. I've been to Ireland, and I got to play in Dublin on Irish TV with Mary Chapin Carpenter. I got to be in the band for that one song. But that, I don't know if that's not very interesting to you. It was interesting to me. I'm trying to think. Nothing comes. I think if it was really bad, I probably have intentionally kind of forgotten.
Well, let's flip it around. Did anybody ever come up to you after a show in a faraway land just to really give you a nice compliment?
Oh, I just got an email from Uzbekistan. I had sent out my newsletter, you know, which I do very infrequently, because I'm not that good at it, and to send out shows, you know, where I'm going to be playing. And I got this an email from a guy who's at the University of Tashkent in Uzbekistan, and somebody had played him my music 16 years ago in China when he was teaching at a university there. So you never know where these songs are gonna end up. I had a little haiku. If I can probably forget how it was, I won't remember. But I sent him back a little haiku that I came up with.
What's left for you, John? What do you have? Do you have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan? Do you have something you really want to do?
Oh, I want to keep on playing. You know, I want to get better at the doing stuff at the home studio. Because one of the things that I'll do there, I'll play instruments, you know, or that I have no business playing, and I won't do that in front of another. If it was like a professional engineer in a professional studio, the things I wouldn't do there, that I'll do at home, you know, because nobody has to hear it if it's no good, and so I want to continue to do that. And I think the more I do that, the better I'll get at learning to play parts. I was able to play some keyboard parts on some songs on the upcoming record, and some hand percussion and a harmonium part and another kind of keyboard parts. So. That's kind of what I'm interested in. Continue to reach new people, because I feel like no matter what level I'm at now, I need to reach new people all the time. So I want to continue to do that. I love to play, maybe I'll get as the kids get older, I can go a little farther afield, and maybe I'll end up in Uzbekistan sometime.
Worthy goal.
Yeah.
John Gorka, I'd like to thank you for spending some time with us. And you mentioned your upcoming album, and depending on when you're hearing this, it may already be out. But
yeah,
what's the title?
The working title is Illusion of Control, because that's kind of that's been the working title of all my last 4 or 5 records. But I think that's going to stick this time on this one, because that's kind of what the recording process is like. That you have to kind of imagine that you have some sort of control when you really don't. And I think just the times we're living in. Exposes that illusion of control, that we're at the mercy of larger forces.
And what would you like to play off of this record?
Okay, yeah, I'll do this one for you. This is a song about unearned advantage, or earned advantage and unearned advantage, maybe cultural inheritance or family inheritance. And I know you're saying, oh yeah, another one of those songs, but that's... It's called Ignorance and Privilege.
I was born to ignorance, yes, and lesser poverty. I was born to privilege that I did not see. Like a pigment in my skin, one free and easy in. I didn't know it, but my way was paved. I grew up a Catholic boy in a northeastern state. Placed when asked where you from, some people tend to hesitate. Reply a little bit late, as if maybe it didn't rain. I was born to ignorance and privilege. My dad ran a printing press, a tag and label factory. May have seen it as a child, now a distant memory. Almost too faint to see, dark red brick factory. Didn't know it, but my way was paved. We moved from a city street shortly after I arrived to a house on a gravel road where I learned to be alive. Crawl, walk, run, and ride. That's where I learned to come alive. I was born to ignorance and privilege. If the wind is at your back and you never turn around, you may never know the wind is there. You may never never hear the sound. Whoa. Got to grow and go to school, work at home and dream at night, even be a college fool like I had any right. Never went through a war, never Great Depression poor. Didn't know it, but my way was paved. Nose to the grindstone, shoulder to the wheel. Back against the wall, maybe you know how it feels. Your back, and you never turn around. You may never know when the wind is there. You may never hear the sound. Whoa. I was born to ignorance, yes, and lesser poverties. I was born to privilege that I did not see, like a pigment in my skin, want a free and easy end. Didn't know it, but my way was paved. 'Cause I was born to ignorance and privilege.